Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. Well, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. He was arrested and tried and convicted. He was tortured and then put on a cross. About 17 years ago, that realization hit me like a ton of bricks. And I realized that for the first time, I could see that death and that resurrection for me. Now, it's a weird thing to think that one man died a horrific death so that so many could live. And the reason why that's such a difficult concept is because it seems to be one person's death. And it's hard to believe that God would give his only begotten Son as a living sacrifice to go through what us humans would dare not dream of. Now, this is always a difficult subject because I'm truly happy and elated what Jesus did for me. But on the other end, I need to face the truth of what happened on that night. Because in some ways, we're an awful lot like the Pharisees and Sadducees. And in some ways, we're like Judas. We kind of didn't buy into the whole thing. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that his disciples fled from him. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, when he was talking about, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and he was talking about the bread, that he was the bread of life that was given for all. And that created quite a stir, because they were like, man, that is disgusting. What are you talking about? We have to eat your flesh. It just didn't make sense. And it's hard to imagine, because it's interesting. You think about one person's death. And in that one person's death, there is a sort of spiritual magnetism, if you will. I'll give you an example. I forgot how many died in the shooting in Connecticut, Newtown. But all the world mourned because of the atrocious way which those kids had experienced the last part of their lives. And that's difficult, because we imagine this horrific nightmare unfolding before us all. And we think, when we take a look at old Jewish writings, there is no doubt that there was a Jesus of Nazareth, and there was no doubt that he was taken by the Sanhedrin and brought before Pontius Pilate, and there is no historical doubt whatsoever that he died on the cross at Golgotha. Let me start. Matthew 26. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they plotted to arrest Jesus in some sly way and kill him. "But not during the feast," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." See, I'm sorry I haven't come to you for a couple days. I had some personal things to attend to. But last time we left off, we talked about the triumphal entry. Okay? Actually, 2 times ago, we talked about the triumphal entry. How Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey. And how people were praising him, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." But the elite, the chief priests and elders, the Sanhedrin, plotted to kill Jesus. While Jesus was in Bethany in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured out on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste, they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas, went to the chief priest and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 silver coins. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city and to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I am going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, Surely not I, Lord. Jesus replied, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus answered, yes, it is you. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them again, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day, when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Now, let me backtrack here for a second. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Now, what is that in reference to? Here in the footnotes, it says Zacchaeus 13:7. Did I say that right? But if you take a look at what he talked about being the good shepherd, he talks about that there will be one that will come and scatter the sheep. I just find that interesting, that's all. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter replied, even if I fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Now we know where this story goes, don't we? We know exactly what's going to happen. Don't we have that attitude with God? Let me go back real quick. That was Zechariah verse 13, Zechariah 13:7, about the scattering of the flock of sheep. But getting back to the point, don't we all do that? Don't we say, you know, when the chips are down, I'm going to stick with you, God. If this just happens, I'll go to church all the time. I'll do everything right. I'll do this and I'll do that, and I'm with you, you know. Man. Sometimes we act like Judas. Sometimes we make the mistake of not doing what's right. Then Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So Jesus is experiencing this sorrow. He's already said that somebody amongst the 12 is going to betray him. He acknowledges who that person is in quiet. I can't even speak tonight. And he tells that person, you're the person. He knows. And he says that this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, raising the wine. And it will be poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until you're with me in my Father's house. And Jesus says, hey, you're going to deny me, Peter. Man, this isn't looking so good. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. Man, we don't like that, do we? We say, God, get me out of this mess. I don't want to go through it anymore. But Jesus is about to die for you and me. He's about to die for our sins. The man of Jesus is about to die for our sins. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? So he must have been gone for about an hour. He asked Peter, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I kind of wonder if Jesus wasn't talking about himself at that time. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. He's asking, please pray. Keep watch and pray. And he gives them a warning, watch so that you don't fall into temptation. He went away a second time and prayed, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Now that's interesting. You know, they can't even recognize him unless Judas goes up and kisses him on the cheek. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Put your sword back in its place, Jesus said to him. For all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way? At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, am I leading a rebellion that you came out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me, but this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Bam! Gone. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they could not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Yeah, we have that in life, don't we? Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and the coming of the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Christ, who hit you? Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us, they replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money. So, man, even to the end, they're idiots. So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken of Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 silver coins, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So, when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked him, which one do you want me to release, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Answered the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What should I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ, Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was started, He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the place and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to be crucified. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they enforced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed a written charge against him, this Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right, one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, and saying, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself, come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. Man, this is hard. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloah, Eloah, lama sabachthani, which I don't pronounce very well, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of the many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, or Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Well, it's always a hard thing talking about that if it doesn't impact you. Well, I don't have anything to say about that. We're going to talk about the burial in the tomb tomorrow and talk a little bit more about what everything that I just talked about means. May God bless you tonight and keep you well.